When did you meet Chester Cadjoe?
Well, as far as Quick Trip's concerned, in 1957. However, I had gone to junior high school with Chester at Wilson Junior High School. He went down to Central. I went to Rogers. We didn't see each other until after we both had graduated from college. We met at a wedding. I got to know him then. He was in the Air Force at the time, and he came back and went to work. Trying to sell printing, wasn't very good at it. I was standing in front of the Fell Tower building one May afternoon. I saw Chester coming down the street, and of course, he was only about 5'6", you know, and I looked down at him and said, "You look awful, Chester." He said, "Well, Holmes, you don't look much better yourself." I said, "Well, let me tell you my problem." So I took him inside. There was a place called the Tower Grill at that time. It had great malts. I bought him a malt and told him that I had this idea. I'd been down to Dallas and seen 7-Eleven stores, and I thought there needed to be some up here. And I tried to do a deal with a guy for a year, a guy named Harry Burt, whose dad used to own Burt's Good Humor Ice Cream Company here in town. I never could get it done with him.
Okay, you asked the ice cream man. You wanted him to get in the convenience business with you.
I wanted him to be what ended up being the Chester, and he did not want to do that or couldn't. So I went on and signed a letter agreement for a lease, and then I ran into Chester, and I told him, I said, "Chester, this is what I'm doing." I said, "A friend of mine at the bank across the street is going to loan me $5,000. I've got three guys who want to put up $2,000 apiece, and I'm looking for someone who put up $5,000, and I'll let him run the company." Chester said, "I hate what I'm doing. I might like to do that." I said, "Well, look, I'm leaving town for a week. When I come back, I'll check with you." And he said, "Well, I'll talk to my dad and see what he said." So he came back. His dad told him he'd loan him $5,000, and that's how it got started. It was about that simple.
So then you had a total of about how many thousands of dollars?
$16,000. Yeah. And next year we put in another $4,000.
Okay.
And then never any more money.
What was the name again of the man you first asked to go in on this business with you?
Harry Burt, B-U-R-T, Jr.
Did he live to know how Quick Trip took off?
Oh, yeah.
Did he ever say to you, "I should have done this, Burt"?
No, not really.
If you hadn't seen Chester on that day you talk about, was he on a list of people to call? Would you have called him?
No.
Wow. So that just shows how, on a whim, Quick Trip took off.
Absolutely fortuitous for him and for me, yeah.
And who knows who you might have tried to call. I don't know if you had a list in your head or not. If you had many others, you probably did.
I talked to a number of people, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Has that happened a lot to you in your life? Lots of whims?
No, but I talk to people, and when you talk to people, you find out things that if you don't talk to them, you don't find out.
Yeah.
He was unhappy in his job, as it works out, and I had this idea that was very important to me. I tried to do it with somebody else and it didn't work out. So, yeah, this is one of these turning points in my life and his life, yeah.
You also did some misspelling in the name of Quick Trip.
No, that was by design. I thought up the name, but I got some help from a guy in your business a little bit with that.
In the advertising business?
Mm-hmm. I had this name, and I was sitting down one day telling Hugh Finnerty what I was wanting to do. You remember Hugh?
Hugh Finnerty was a big name in this town, baseball and all.
And I knew him through athletics and so on. And he said, "Bert, you know, that's a great name, but we shouldn't treat it the way you're treating it." I said, "What do you mean?" I had a Q-U-I-C-K hyphen. T-R-I-P. He said, "We need to get this snappier." And he said, "Well, let's do it Q-U-I-K hyphen T-R-I-P. He said, "That is a better way of doing it." And he's absolutely right. Yeah.
So then you dropped the hyphen.
Mm-hmm. And eventually started using the Q-T a lot, but that didn't happen for a number of years.
Chester was to do the legwork.
He was to run the company. He was run the stores. I was going to get the money and the locations. And after about 3 or 4 or 5 years, he did not need me to do either one of those things. And he became, frankly, a world-class businessman.
Yeah.
And so, I had no idea that the ability to do that was there.
There were ups and downs, and I have interviewed Chester here on VoicesOfOklahoma.com, and he talks about what you're talking about. You will also remember he talks about the first store that you opened up that had to be a big thing in your mind, and it was actually in a construction area. And Chester talks about he put out a sign that said, "Help," out in front of the business. So what were your feelings about this, wondering, is this going to work or not?
Well, my dad was about to die. My dad's dad had gone bankrupt in the grocery business in the 30s over on Fifth Street. My dad was just very upset that I was going into a grocery business. What happened is I had signed a letter agreement for 2,400 square feet in a strip shopping center at 52nd and Peoria. on the west side of the street. After we did that and got started, the city decided to redo the intersection there because the guy that owned the Chinese restaurant north of the bypass right now was going to build a shopping center across the street from us, and they needed utilities. And they needed all the underground and that stuff. So they shut down the damn street in front of us for 8 weeks. You know, we were dying. We didn't have any business. The kids in the neighborhood ride their bikes in, or the parents would walk in. But that's not enough to put in your ear, you know. But we made it through. And the rest is history.
You must have had nights where you worried about it.
No, I don't worry.
That's not part of your nature?
That's not part of me.
Do not worry.
I do not worry. I slept just as well then as I've ever slept in my life.
Chester talks about the experimentation of what to sell. He talked about selling wigs at one time and canoes, and he says we didn't know what.
We didn't know anything.
Didn't know anything.
But he got lucky early on. Get and Go started 2 weeks before we did. They brought up a guy from Texas named Billy Neal. Billy ran a convenience store down in Texas someplace. Chester got to know him somehow. And Billy got upset with Get and Go, who's owned by Hale Halsell, the wholesaler. Chester said, well, why don't you come over and help us for a while? He did come over and help Chester with a lot. And we were very fortunate that that did happen.
At the time, the very idea of convenience had to be sold to the public. They didn't grasp what you guys were trying to do.
That's correct, but convenience was not used in conjunction with the stores. People called them bantams, small. Bantam Rooster, you know, I forget what else they called them. Convenience store, that word came along some years later.
Okay, but the idea then was
the idea
novel.
Was convenience. People said, what do you mean Quick Trip? I said, that's exactly what it is. You come in front, get in, and get out real quick. You know, that's a Quick Trip.
Yeah. And people had to slowly figure that out.
Yeah, but my name connoted that, and a whole bunch of them don't.
Weren't you also a little more expensive than maybe the grocery stores?
Sure.
Because you
sure.
were making it easy for them to come in and grab it.
Well, that plus the fact that we couldn't buy as cheap as the grocery stores could.
Oh.
Yeah. And to get a decent margin, we had to have higher prices.
I think Chester talks about at one point where you needed some capital, and he started knocking on banks' doors, mm-hmm. and they said, no, no, no. No. And either you were with him or knew what he was doing,
correct? Oh, I knew what he was doing, yeah. We finally ended up, well, the banking deal, that was a ways down the line. And he ended up at a bank in Dallas, the Republic National Bank. Did he mention Terry Carter to you?
No.
Well, Terry Carter was the chief financial officer at Quick Trip for many years. He worked for the bank at that time, and it was our banking officer down there. We got set up. After we got set up, we were doing business BOK at that time, and they said no. Chester called him and just told him we're moving the business tomorrow. The president of the bank called Chester and said, what are you doing? He said, well, we came to you and told you what we needed, and you said you wouldn't do it. So we found someone who said they would do it. He said, well, you should come back to me. Chester said, look, you told me no. However, what we'll do, they're going to parcel this out to some other banks, not just theirs, and we'll ask them to give you part of the loan that way, and we did do that. And then ultimately, we did get back to BOK because the bank down there changed hands to them many times. And they got where they wouldn't answer the phone as readily as Chester thought they should. So we changed back to BOK and have been there since.
You said you never worry, so you went on to stores 2, 3, 4, and 5. And then there were ups and downs, but you figured that this idea is going to work, basically because you knew it was working in Dallas.
I never had any problems with it, yeah.
Are you still connected to Quick Trip today?
I only own a small amount. My family only owns a small amount of stock. I am emeritus on the board out there, which isn't much fun because if you're not truly involved in the deal, it's not fun just to watch them read reports, you know. But I do go to the meetings. We'll go to one this week.
That'll give you a sense of pride as you go about your business and then you see the Quick Trip signs and so forth, what you had to do with that.
I like that.
Must be a good, nice feeling.
I like that, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And Chester turned out, as you just said, a world-class businessman. What a nice surprise.
Yeah.
You guys were obviously good friends.
You know, that company, we started 54 years ago this fall. That thing has got 15,000 employees now. I mean, that's crazy. I don't think any other Oklahoma-owned company has 15,000 employees in it.
And
they don't all have to be in Oklahoma, but I mean just employ that many.
hundreds of stores.
We have about 670 or 80 stores now.
I suppose several billion in sales.
Over 12 billion in sales.
And Fortune magazine consistently names Kwik Trip to the list of best companies to work for
in
America.
Right. We're really proud of that.
Chester talks about how important it was that the employees know how important they are to the business.
That was a philosophy that evolved during the first probably 10 years of our life.
Okay.
I don't think Chester knew or thought about that in the first two or three years that we were in business. One of the things that he did always say, we always have to keep expanding so employees will know they have a chance to progress. That's what a lot of people lose sight of. They have evolved this employee deal really well and gone very far with it, and the rest is history. I mean, it's the best known convenience store in the country now. Yeah.
Yeah.